Harford, White, Ramanaskis. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Our three players didn't travel. We had, you know, as I said, we had a few players, obviously, who, our three players didn't travel. We had, you know, a few more who didn't play much in the game, and you know, we're all pretty important players to us. So there's an opportunity for us to put some fresh legs on, and yeah, I'll have a look at the boys today and see how they train and make the decisions there. But yeah, the adjustment will come not because of any reaction to the first game. The adjustment will come because, yeah, again, I'll put out an 11. I think we'll win the game for us tomorrow.
And that's all we needed to do, really. Ange Postecoglou there, coach of the Socceroos, talking about the squad and the opportunity that presents tonight at ANZ Stadium, 8 p.m. as the Socceroos finally try and qualify for Russia 2018, the World Cup against Honduras in the second leg. We need a win. And one man who's going to be calling all the action on Fox Sports magnificently, as he always does, is Simon Hill, who joins us this morning on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Simon.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're going very well, thank you. There's been some big moments in Australian football in the last 15 years. We go back to the Uruguay game 2005. But is this bigger, Simon? Is this moment bigger in terms of the grand scheme and the effect it can have on the game?
No, I don't think it is, to be honest, without wishing to put a dampener on it. I think that night in 2005 was a pivotal moment because, if you remember, the A-League had just started. In fact, I think it was about 3 weeks old in those days, and Australia hadn't qualified for a World Cup in 32 years, and really the new professional club competition needed the turbo boost of World Cup qualification to, you know, get eyeballs back on football. So I think that was more important, but that's not to say that tonight isn't important. It is, for similar reasons, that, you know, the game needs to continue its forward momentum. Obviously, there's a big financial stake in it as well, but it's not just about money. It's, you know, it's about this generation of kids seeing their team at a World Cup finals, and we don't want to take a backward step. So it's big, but I wouldn't say it's as big as Uruguay 12 years ago, no.
A lot has been made in the last couple of days about the recovery of the players. You were there watching it all unfold in Honduras on Saturday morning our time, and what was a really oppressive conditions. The pitch was really difficult to play on. How big do you think the recovery factor and the bonus that the Socceroos had with the chartered flight and the massage and the recovery and all that type of thing will play tonight with a new squad as well, three or four new, different players in the lineup?
Well, yes, those little one percenters, isn't it? And we were fortunate enough to be on the charter flight with the team on the way back home. Not business class, I hasten to add, but they, you know, they were brilliantly looked after, and they had, you know, the latest technology, these eyeglasses that shot beams of light to keep them awake into their eyes, and they had massages, and we got off in Honolulu, and, you know, the roll bars were laid out so they could stretch. So, you know, everything was done to try and ensure that they got that little advantage ahead of Honduras. And, of course, they arrived home 24 hours ahead of their opponents. So I think it's got to have, you know, a certain effect. As I say, I don't know whether it's going to be massive, but it might be that little 1% that if the game is tight, and I expect it to be so again tonight, then it might just get the Socceroos over the line. I hope so anyway.
And talking about one percenters, Simon, the Honduras coach accusing Australia of using a drone over their training yesterday. What did you make of that?
Well, look, in a way, I can understand it because I do know that over in San Pedro Sula, the Australians did have a drone with them. It was more to get good media pictures than anything else of their own team, I hasten to add, not to go spy it. So obviously, the Hondurans were aware of that and were wary of it, and when they saw a drone in the air above Olympic Park the other day, they put two and two together, and unfortunately they've made five because it's since been proven that it was a father and his child. So, but obviously they're not buying that. They still believe, you know, that there is a conspiracy at play, and it's not the only one that their coach Jorge Luis Pinto has bought into. He's also accused his own journalists of passing on information to the Australians. I'm at a loss as to know who that might be. But anyway, there we go. Maybe that's his way of motivating his own players and, you know, getting the siege mentality, a la Alex Ferguson all those years ago. He used to do some of that stuff as well.
Now, and the big question for the Aussies will be the makeup of their 11. How do you see that makeup running out onto the pitch tonight?
Well, look, I think there'll be two changes at least, probably more than that, but the two I would sort of stake my house on would be Matt Leckie. I think he'll come back in for Josh Risden. And again, it's just picking up on that quote that we heard there from Ange Postecoglou. He wants to select a team that wins the game. And Matt Leckie is one of those players potentially that can win you a game, particularly, you know, given his goal scoring form for the national team of late. So I think he'll certainly be one change. Another one will probably be Mark Milligan. I think he'll certainly come back in. The only question is whether he plays as a solo defensive midfield screener or whether he plays alongside Mille Jedinakis if Ange wants a little bit of extra insurance. The other two spots for me that are probably, you know, toss of the coin are, does he start Tommy Juric or does he go with Tim Cahill? Couldn't tell you which way he's going to go on that one. And potentially Alex Gersbach for Aziz Bajic on the left. And again, that's no reflection on how Aziz played against Honduras in the first leg. I thought he was very good. But, you know, maybe Gersbach will be seen as a better crossing option to try and supply the bullets for the strikers. So I think there's a few things for him to chew on. But I think Milligan and Leckie would definitely be two changes.
Simon, what do you like about the Socceroos? What's their strength going into this game tonight? For people that don't watch the Socceroos all the time, but you know want to watch tonight because it's obviously such a big occasion. What as a caller, what do you like about them?
Well, I like the fact that they play a good style of football. That's for sure. You know, they keep possession, they try and rotate the ball around the pitch and move the opposition around, but they dominate most games that they play. Unfortunately, the thing that I don't like about Australia is they don't score enough with the possession and the chances that they have. So it's that they have been a little bit of a frustrating side over the last 6 or 7 months. But as Ange said to us on Fox Sports at the weekend, you know, scoring goals is the most difficult part of our game. And that's why strikers and in an Australian context, Tim Cahill get paid the big bucks and have such the high profile careers because you know that they do their business at the pointy end of the pitch, and hopefully Australia can find the goals that they need tonight. Otherwise, it'd be a long night.
Yeah, I asked Archie Thompson this question on Monday about the ball not going in the back of the net as much as we'd like, and whether it's a technical thing or whether it's a mental thing. What's your view on that?
Again, I asked Ange that very question on Saturday, and he wasn't able to give me an answer. So, if the national coach doesn't know, I'm not sure I can come up with theories. I think it's, you know, I think it's a combination of factors. Sometimes it's good goalkeeping, occasionally it's bad luck. Sometimes it's poor finishing, lack of composure, lack of confidence. You know, call it what you will, it's the X factor in football. And if you can't do it, you're going to struggle as a team. Of course, the other issue for Australia at the other end is that they've struggled to keep a clean sheet. Now, that's not to say that they're particularly leaky defensively. They don't concede goals threes, fours, fives, but they do, as we saw against Syria in the last round, as we saw against Thailand, you know, when they dominated that game, that the final round of the group stage, they batter teams and then they can get caught with a sucker punch. So there's a couple of little issues at either end of the pitch, and that's a team that's, you know, developing and evolving as it goes along. Obviously, what we need tonight is qualification, because if we were to miss out, then, you know, this team would take a massive hit to the jaw and the game would take a massive hit to the pockets. And, you know, who knows what might happen. Well, I'll tell you one thing that would happen. Ange Postecoglou wouldn't be there tomorrow, that's for sure.
Certainly wouldn't be going to Russia as coach of the Socceroos, which I'm still not sure will be happening anyway. But that's for another day, Simon, that one. Just on Honduras, from what I saw on Saturday morning watching the game on Fox Sports, they didn't seem to be overly scientific with the way they played. Was that the pitch, the situation where it was difficult to get the ball to roll effectively and cleanly to your partner, or were they just not a good team?
Well, yeah, a bit of both. I think, you know, their play was certainly agricultural. But then you could have grown potatoes on that pitch. So, you know, maybe it wasn't a bad tactic to just lump it upfield because passing was very, very difficult. And, you know, even Australia, who normally, as I say, outpassed teams by 3-4-1 in the Asian zone anyway, they did win that particular stat against Honduras, but it was a lot closer than you expected it to be because it was just impossible to pass the ball. I think, actually, that the pitch tonight, although Pinto has complained about that as well. Let's be honest, it's got to be better than the one in San Pedro Sula. I think it actually might suit the Hondurans a little bit better because they've got some good players. And, you know, one of the players to watch out for Honduras tonight, if he plays, I'm pretty sure he will, is the guy who comes back from suspension, Albert Ellis. He plays on the right-hand side. And this is why I mentioned the issue between Bajic and Gersbach, because Albert Ellis, who was banned for the first leg, he was suspended, is very quick and very dangerous. And that side of the pitch could be a potential issue, I think, for Australia with the system they play with the two high wing backs. So that's going to be an interesting night.
It's certainly going to be a very interesting night. All eyes will be glued on Fox Sports to see it all unfold from 8 p.m. Simon, we wish you the best of luck with the call and hopefully we get the right result tonight.
Fingers crossed, guys. Go the Roos.
Go the mighty Socceroos. Simon Hill from Fox Sports, the number one caller in the game.